The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross says Libya has descended into civil war, and NATO countries are meeting in Brussels to debate a no-fly zone over the country. What's the view from the U.S.? Mohammed El-Jami is a Libyan-American who lives here in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. His late brother, Fatih El-Jami, was an activist in Libya. He was imprisoned under Gaddafi and died in prison in 2009 after being denied medical care. Mohammed joins us in the studio, and you know, we know you still have family in Libya. What's it like for you to watch the events from here? How are they?
My family is, luckily, is okay now. My family has suffered greatly for my late brother's activism. In 2008, nearly 1,000 of Gaddafi's militia demonstrated in front of my brother's house. They were carrying machine guns, chanting against my brother, and also insinuating that they could go in and liquidate everyone in the house for defaming the leader.
Your brother was calling for free speech, free enterprise, free press, a government by the people for the people. He was imprisoned. He was deprived of medicine for diabetes. It was, you know, just a horrible death by all accounts. Now, though, where does your family stand on all of these questions that we're hearing? Do they want countries like the U.S. to come in with a no-fly zone? How does your family view what's going on?
Well, all Libyans definitely want a no-fly zone. Libyan people have realized that this is the taste of freedom. They saw what happened in Tunisia and Egypt. Now, the war is not on equal terms. Gaddafi has guns, anti-aircraft guns. He's using tanks. He's using helicopter gunships. He's using airplanes against unarmed civilians who only have light weapons or just their bodies.
Yeah, but do you worry that if other countries intervene, it's a very slippery slope to an occupation or to allowing Gaddafi to say that this is not a popular uprising but something that's coming externally from countries like the U.S.?
Well, when you're concerned about saving human lives, I mean, I have sat on the phone for an hour or two with people who were in front of the security compound in Benghazi. I could hear the gunfire. I could hear these people were terrified. I heard grotesque stories where a tank driven by mercenaries ran over and crushed a car driven by two young men. I've heard a grotesque story of a little boy, 2 years old, playing in his house and was hit by bullets that were being fired indiscriminately by mercenaries. I've heard stories about women being raped by the mercenaries. This is traumatizing. What is happening to Libya, that's traumatizing.
I'm wondering, too, if you, who lost a brother, you know, who was sort of the forerunner of this opposition that we're watching now and paid his life for it, I'm wondering if you might also think that if this fails, it makes his sacrifice in vain.
Well, my brother, as you know, really, he walked the walk and talked the talk. My brother spoke the truth to power to Gaddafi, and he died with a peaceful mind. He's a man who persevered under great suffering, and he accepted with an open heart.
I'm sorry, it's still very fresh for you.
But, you know, this is, the issue is, it's about justice. When my brother always spoke, he spoke about. His fellow human being and the sacrifices. And, the stories of the Libyans, this is not going to go away. I think with my late mother used to say that if what you seek is just, it should only come back to you, even after a long wait.
That's Mohammed El-Jami, a Libyan-American brother of a jailed dissident in Libya who died after his poor medical treatment in Muammar Gaddafi's prisons, asking for a no-fly zone for his home country. Mohammed, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.